Blog Talk Radio.
Santorum said
during an event in Pella, Iowa, December. I think some people should make more than other people because some people work harder and have better ideas and take more risks, and they should be rewarded for it. I have no problem with income inequality.
Well, of course, he's misconstrued what they meant by income inequality.
Yeah, well, he's a dumbass, you know. And
Number three, contraception is a license to do things. Santorum has pledged to repeal all federal funding for contraception and allow the states to outlaw birth control, insisting that it's a license to do things in a sexual realm that is counter to how things are supposed to be.
Well,
but that's how things Rick Santorum thinks they're supposed to be. Yeah.
And number four, gay soldiers cause problems for people living in close quarters. During the appearance on Fox News Sunday in October, Santorum defended his support for Don't Ask, Don't Tell by arguing that gay soldiers would disrupt the military because they're in close quarters. They live with people and obviously shower with people. He also suggested that there are people who were gay and lived the gay lifestyle and aren't anymore.
Okay. Number five, Obama should oppose abortion because he's black. During an appearance on Christian television in January, Santorum said he was surprised that President Obama didn't know when life began, given his skin color. I find it remarkable for a black man to say, now we're going to decide who are people and who are not people, he explained. Okay.
Yeah. Number six, we don't need food stamps because obesity rates are so high.
Oh, my God.
Speaking in Lamar's, Iowa, in December, Santorum promised to significantly reduce federal funding for food stamps, arguing that the nation's increasing obesity rates render the program unnecessary. Jesus, this guy is one amazing guy.
Abortion exceptions, number seven. Abortion exceptions to protect women's health are phony. While discussing his track record as a champion of the partial birth abortion ban in June, Santorum dismissed exceptions other senators wanted to carve out to protect the life and health of mothers, calling such exceptions phony. They wanted a health exception, which of course is phony exception, which would make the ban ineffective, he said.
You guys are morons. He's a complete and utter moron. And health reform will kill my child. Santorum, who claims that Obamacare motivated him to run for president, told reporters in April that his daughter, Bella, was born with a genetic abnormality, wouldn't survive in a country with socialized medicine. Children like Bella are not given the treatment that other children are given. Where's the proof of that? And
there's no proof of any of these things he's saying. Number nine, uninsured Americans should spend less on cell phone bills. During a meeting with the editorial board of the Des Moines Register in August, Santorum said that people who can't afford health care should stop whining about the high cost of medical treatments and medications and spend less on essentials. Spend less on non-essentials. Answering a question about the uninsured, Santorum explained that health care, like a car, is a luxury resource that is rationed by society and recalled the story of a woman who said she was spending $200 a month on life-saving prescriptions. Santorum told her to stop complaining instead, lower her cable bill and cell phone bills.
What a guy. Number 10, insurers should discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions. Santorum sounded like a representative from the health insurance industry when he addressed a small group of high school students in Merrimack, New Hampshire, in December. The former Pennsylvania senator not only defended insurers for denying coverage to people with pre-existing conditions, he also argued that individuals who are sick should pay higher premiums because they cost more money to insure.
And this article was by Igor Volosky, sourced from Think Progress. It's amazing how he's gotten so far.
No, but it's not really.
He probably stuffed the ballot boxes.
No, you're dealing with absolute morons and you know who would vote for this guy. So you know that's your problem. I mean, these right wing Republican crazy far out guys are just really, really sick.
If you go to that other site, I can find why he was corrupt. I'm interested in that article.
He also said, I will bomb Iran nuclear sites. I wanted to read that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
idiot is surging in Iowa. Somebody sent you that.
Yep.
Oh, Gail.
Moron alert. Moron alert. So, well, of course, this is an Iran. This is an Iranian newspaper, but however, Santorum says, I will bomb Iran nuclear sites. U.S. Republican presidential candidate Rick Santorum has said he would bomb Iran's nuclear facilities upon his election as president if Tehran does not open its sites for international arm inspectors. Talking to NBC's television Meet the Press, Santorum said he would tell the Iranian leaders to either open up those facilities, begin to dismantle them, and make them available to the inspectors, or the U.S. would attack them.
Oh, great. Well, if I remember, Iraq opened up theirs for inspectors, and
yeah.
Then they were attacked anyway.
They were attacked anyway.
So
and,
why bother?
And they found no weapons of mass destruction, and they still did attack them. The remarks come as the, wait a minute, the former president, Pennsylvania senator, also slammed U.S. President Barack Obama for doing enough to disrupt Iran's nuclear program. This, he said, risks doing the U.S. into risks turning the U.S. into a paper tiger. And the remarks come as the International Atomic Energy Agency has conducted numerous inspections of Iran nuclear facilities, but have never found any evidence indicating that Tehran nuclear program has been diverted toward weapons production. And last week, head of Iran's Majlis, our parliament, National Security and Foreign Policy Committee, welcome the presence of IAEA inspectors in Iran, saying this can guarantee the presentation of realistic reports by the agency. On Monday, December 19th, Western diplomats said Iran was reinstated as reinstated an invitation offer to the inspectors to visit the country after the IAEA chief rejected a previous October invitation, claiming that Tehran has refused to address the agency's specific concerns. Following the invitation, Iran's ambassador to the IAEA said on Tuesday, December 20th, that Tehran is ready to address any concerns about the program. Iranian officials have also expressed numerous concerns about repeated efforts by the IAEA inspectors to leak data about Iran's nuclear program and scientists to foreign governments, leading to terrorist attacks against a number of Iranian nuclear scholars. The IAEA has so far ignored Iran's concerns. So, you know, they're in
the United States, Israel, and some of their allies accused Tehran of pursuing military objectives in its nuclear program, and then they have used this pretext to push for the imposition of sanctions as well as to call for an attack on the country. Iran, however, refutes such allegations as baseless and maintains that as a signatory to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and a member of the IAEA, it has every right to develop and acquire nuclear technology for peaceful purposes.
He's absolutely right. I mean, you got to understand, they're just pushing it. And Santorum's nothing but a mouthpiece anyway.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have a brain. Israeli regime is branded a Nazi racist. Hundreds of protesters in Al-Quds,
that's
Jerusalem, called Israeli authorities Nazis and racists. So, that's just kind of interesting. Excuse me.
And this one's from Press TV.
Right, which is Iranian as well. However, they're not exaggerating when they're showing the picture here of the Iranian.
About 1,500 demonstrators gathered in the central Gula neighborhood in Al-Quds, which is Jerusalem, Saturday evening chanting, Zionists are not Jews and Zionism is racism. The demonstrators had gathered to protest oppression and incitement of the secular community in Israel against them. Some of the demonstrators wore yellow Stars of David on their jackets. The protesters also called Israeli authorities Nazis. It is like how it started with the Nazis, very slowly, said a demonstrator. They are separating us from the Jewish people because we are not following the way of the Torah. Because we are following the way of the Torah, excuse me. They hate us because we are going the Jewish way, and there is only one Jewish way. Israeli police arrested two demonstrators during their two protesters during the demonstration. Another protester said, "The hatred and incitement being directed at us because we do not want to take on the ethical standards of the secular community is simply intolerable." In addition to the latest demonstration, Israelis have several times protested against the rising cost of living, injustice, social inequality, and official corruption over the past few months. In October 2011, hundreds of Israeli medical personnel quit work in protest against their low income and high cost of living.
There you go. So,
first it was the Palestinians that they persecuted and have gotten away with.
Now they're their own people.
Their own people who are very religious.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just getting sicker.
That's because they're Zionists. They're not Jews.
Yeah. I like this thing. I posted something here from the other day, and it said, the trickle-down theory is the principle that the poor, who must subsist on table scraps dropped by the rich, can best be served by giving the rich bigger meals. That was by William Blum.
That's the trickle-down theory, huh?
Sure.
It great.
Makes a lot of sense to me. I thought it was a trickle-down theory. Okay. Hang on a second.
Well, maybe you can find that article that I was interested in.
Yeah, I can go put it on right now. So much stuff, guys. So much stuff that you can't believe how much stuff there is. I don't know where that thing is.
Somewhere, but I just don't know. Don't go too fast. There's some pretty good audio on here, too.
Oh.
It went too fast.
No, I didn't. It's not on this one.
It is. I never went to the second page.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's not here.
Unless this is a new page that they put up today. Know why they thought he was a crook.
They really don't say. They just said he was a crook. They were rating him. There was.
He was rated
top
as
top three senators.
He was one of the crooked senators. Gee, was that? Don't tell me he was asked for our two senators at the time, Lieberman and Dodd.
Weren't in there, which surprised me.
So you can imagine how much of a crook this guy is.
Yeah, it really surprised me. I really thought they would be,
listed. That's amazing because, you know, with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and Enron and all that, and he's worse than they are?
Yeah. Oh, this is important. When we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but
Obama
signs the toughest yet Iran sanctions.
Yeah, I had heard that he did.
And U.S. President Barack Obama has signed into law tough new sanctions targeting Iran's banking and oil sectors.
You're freezing them out of the market.
Yeah. Effectively, the measures will force companies and financial institutions throughout the world to choose between the United States and Iran as their business partner. Sanctions conceived to punish Iran for its nuclear program and are part of the $662 billion defense spending bill Obama signed on Saturday.
During his Hawaii vacation.
Yeah, during his Hawaii. Yeah.
He did all these things that...
Yeah, he signed that bill and he signed the national...
The signing statement.
That's it.
The National Defense Authorization Act.
Right. And firms and financial institutions, including foreign central banks, could be barred from trading on U.S. financial markets if they continue ties with Iran's central bank for oil industry. or oil industry. Iran's central bank is essential to processing income from Iranian oil exports.
I mean, what's China going to think about that? I thought
they're not going to take this shit.
Russia.
Because what's going to happen is this is going to drive our oil prices through the roof, all right? And
did you,
the only
ones
know, that are going
to
benefit from it is
this.
Iran.
Just be quiet
well,
a minute.
Listen, I'm just
no,
talking.
I realize that, but one of the things that I heard this morning, which surprised me, what do you think our top export is?
Oil.
Yeah.
It's insane, isn't it?
They're complaining that we never have enough oil.
That's right.
And yet our top export is oil?
Yeah, because what happens is most of the oil that comes from the Alaskan pipeline all gets diverted to Japan and Asia in markets, okay, and the Gulf oil stuff that we're doing all goes out too. I mean, it's total bonkers, okay, that we're paying that kind of money for oil, all right?
When it's so large,
and
they're making trillions of dollars.
Yeah, and that we're importing, a massive amount of our, maybe 50 or 60% of our oil from the Middle East, doesn't make any sense. This whole thing makes no sense. So what are we doing? We're supporting these oil-rich nations, Saudi Arabia and so on, all right? And yet we're going to war with them at the same time? I mean, it's total insanity, all right? And the only people that are making money off of this are, of course, the oil companies. All right, and the goddamn congressmen and senators who are allowing all this to happen, okay? So now they want to sanction Iran, all right? And it's just
it must be an excuse to drive up oil prices even further, and because it's our main export,
there's
to get billions
money.
Of dollars for the oil companies. That's
exactly.
All that is.
It's just another ploy.
It's just another game.
So it's like bullshit and ultra bullshit. And the international dispute over Iran's nuclear program, which the West suspects has been developing weapons, all right, current threatens to impact global oil supply. Iran announced earlier this week that it would begin testing missiles in the Strait of Hormuz, a move that U.S. warned against. And Iran also threatened that if the U.S. passed new sanctions, it would block the strait. Okay, but you got to remember, oil prices suddenly, gas prices were coming down.
Yep.
All right, they were coming down.
And they suddenly jumped up.
Then all of a sudden, they did this crap.
Well, no,
and
no.
They jumped back
the,
up.
The reason they jumped up is that the subsidy for ethanol was withdrawn, and that accounted for that sudden jump in oil prices the other day.
But that's bullshit too, because I'll tell you. What really happened is the speculators, okay, I saw this as well, that because of this sudden threat by Iran to cut off the oil supply, all right?
This was before the price went up. And that was why, because they withdrew
the price went up 2 days ago.
They withdrew the subsidy for ethanol, and they didn't sign it. They took off. Congress took off. And that made a 5 or 6 cent increase in the cost of. It's going to go up more. It hasn't gone up as a result of this
but
yet.
But what happened was the speculation in the last week over this stuff, okay, has already started.
Well, it's
going
to go up more.
It's going to drive it up further.
It's going to go up to $4 a gallon again.
You know, and it's all done manipulating.
For the oil companies and the banks to make more money. That's all.
Yeah. Terrorist suspect policy. Also included in the new law are new provisions of the Department of Terrorism Suspects, to which Obama responded with concern. The fact that I support this bill as a whole does not mean I agree with everything in it.
Well, then don't sign it, you jerk.
Well, he did. The president said in a statement suggesting that limits on the U.S. ability to transfer suspects from the military prison at Guantanamo to the United States or a foreign country for trial were poorly conceived. I want to clarify that my administration will not authorize the indefinite military detention without trial of American citizens. Oh, yeah. Well, he signed it anyway.
Yeah.
The executive branch must have the flexibility to act swiftly and conduct negotiations with foreign countries regarding the circumstances of detainee transfers, he said. And Obama came under political fire in early 2011 for allowing the Guantanamo prisoners on the island of Cuba to remain open despite a history of rights violations.
And what about the fact that he said he was going to close it?
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't lived up to one of his campaign promises.
No, and that's why I can't understand why anyone's agreeing to
support him or vote for him.
Son of a bitch, you know? And I wanted to play this, but it's 12 minutes long. It's excellent. And he's talking in front of the UN, actually. Norman Finkelstein. There was no war in Gaza. It was a
lot of,
it was genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a massacre. And
he's right about that.
Yeah. We might be able to play that.
There it is.
Oh,
Republican candidate Rick Santorum voted amongst the most corrupt senators in 2006.
Right. Hang on a second. I guess I didn't put that up on, I usually register these on Facebook so I can get close.
This is from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Let's see. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington released its second annual report on the most corrupt members of Congress entitled Beyond Delay. You remember Tom Delay? The 20 most corrupt members of Congress and 5 to watch. This encyclopedic report on corruption in the 109th Congress documents the egregious, unethical, and possibly illegal activities of the most tainted members of Congress. CREW has compiled the members' transgressions and analyzed them in the light of federal law and congressional rules. Two members have been removed from last year's list of 13. Representative Randy Duke Cunningham, Republican, California, is now serving an 8-year jail term for bribery, and Representative Bob Ney, Republican, Ohio, has agreed to plead guilty to crimes that will likely result in a minimum 2-year prison term. CREW has also relaunched the report's tandem website, www.beyonddelay.org. The site offers short summaries of each member's transgressions, as well as the full-length profiles and all accompanying exhibits. CREW's most corrupt members of Congress, members of the Senate, Conrad Burns, Republican, Montana, Bill Frist, Republican, Tennessee, and Rick Santorum, Republican, Pennsylvania.
Then you got members of the House, and there's another 10 of those guys or more. Members to watch.
Denny Hastert, he...
You know, these guys
he was
resigned,
kicked out.
So not,
well, they pushed
Martha's
him.
Dead.
Martha's dead.
All right, and Don Sherwood, I don't know who he is, and Chris Cannon. CREW created the exhaustive go-to guide on corruption in Congress to expose and hold accountable those members of Congress who believe they are above the law. Melanie Sloan, executive director of CREW, said today, the officials named in this report have chosen to enrich themselves and their families and friends by abusing the power of their office. An August 2006 Harris report shows that 77% of Americans have a negative view of Congress. Okay, this is an old report.
But it does say that he was chosen.
Yeah, see, this was published in September 20th, 2006.
Well, he's no longer a senator.
And that was the year that he pulled out of the race. He didn't make it. He left Congress
right.
Senate. So he was. That was published then.
Do you think if we went to that website that they listed that he would that it's still up?
I don't know if it is.
It says what
where is that?
Beyond something, beyonddelay.org?
Yeah, you'd think they would have a hypertext that, but I don't see it.
It's up at the top there.
CREW most corrupt.org?
Yeah, maybe in there.
Most corrupt.org.
I guess it has 2011's most corrupt. Recognize any of those names?
No. They're all congressmen.
All Republicans.
All Republicans. A
couple of Democrats thrown in.
Shelley
Maxine Waters.
Maxine. Yeah, I heard that one. Her husband was, she was mixed up with that. Unfortunately, you don't have an archive.
Yeah.
It's just kind of bullshit. Let's see, that's, they don't have an archive.
That's too bad, because I would have liked to have known why they felt he was the most corrupt. Oh, that's just the current one.
No, it's not necessarily. They go into... Where are those folks?
No, see, those are for 2011.
Yeah. You think they would have an archive on this thing, yeah?
Well,
there's a bogus group of people.
Yeah. It's pretty upsetting to think that that's... You know, he has the nerve to run.
They don't have anything on him here on this report, so.
Yeah.
Scoundrels.
See what it says here. Gives all the candles.
They would have an archive, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Same time.
Oh, well.
Well, this goes back a ways. Let's see if it was for 08. At 206.
Yeah, maybe we'll find something, folks.
So, they have it mentioned, but they don't have the actual report, so screw them. It's kind of useless.
But I think there's a place where you can find it. It did list it. But it's
where?
Not. But it's, it wasn't hyperlinked.
Oh,
yeah, it was beyonddelay.org.
Beyonddelay.org?
Yes.
Well, I don't think I'm going to go to that.
No, but folks who are interested can go. We'll go to that another time, and we'll find out on our own exactly what was listed. And other folks who are interested can do that as well.
Well, if I can actually find it, which I don't know if I can.
We'll bring it to you next
time.
Doing.
Beyonddelay.com?
.org.
Beyonddelay.org. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's try this. Beyonddelay.org. .org.
Org, not org.
Org. If that exists.
We'd have to do more searching, so let's just get to the rest of the news.
It's not really there. So, forget this crap. All right.
We'll go to find something else.
See, you should let me go, because otherwise we wind up wasting so much time.
I shouldn't have let you do that.
You shouldn't have let me do that. It was
well, I said no, but you pursued.
No. You didn't say no. You said go.
Well, what about Ron Paul? Do you think he's going to make it up there in New Hampshire?
Yes, I do.
I think he really made it in Iowa, and I don't think the votes...
I have something here that I wanted to read to the folks here, so if you...
I bet the votes weren't counted properly.
You know, I research this stuff, and I do all this stuff, and then you make me jump all over the place and make no sense out of anything. So let me try to get back to the basics that we're
trying
to do here. All right. Yeah. Three New Hampshire newspapers endorse Ron Paul.
That's pretty awesome.
I thought so. I think we should check this out. I want you to see this.
Huh.
Oh, God.
This is from Forbes.
Three New Hampshire newspapers endorsed Ron Paul for president on Wednesday. Texas Congressman's campaign headquarters said in a press statement.
The Littleton Courier, the Berlin Reporter, and Coos County Democrat all endorsed Paul for president in the 2012 election. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney has been in the lead for months, wrote one of the op-eds, but voters still seem desperate for an alternative. There's always another candidate pulling stronger or almost as strong as numbers in the polls. Voters have lost faith in Obama, but they're not sold on Romney to replace him. Congressman Ron Paul, however, has never voted to raise a tax and voted against all of the bailouts that have riled up Tea Partiers and Occupy Wall Streeters alike. Editors at these papers said The three dailies are all owned by the same company, Salmon Press Newspapers, out of Meredith, New Hampshire. The 12th term congressman is currently in New Hampshire for the Republican primaries, which takes place on Tuesday, January 10th. Paul came in third place behind Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum in the Iowa caucus last week. He received 21.4% of the vote. Romney and Santorum both received slightly more than 24%.
So that does.
Neither was a resounding winner, that's for sure.
But the fact that you know, that he's been endorsed in New Hampshire is important, even before the primary.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
I hope he has a strong grassroots up there.
There's really, I put up some really good tunes, but I found some good stuff. Somebody sent me some stuff, and I found more. And I just got, this is a tribute to Rick Santorum. It's called Weak Brain and Narrow Mind by Willie Dixon. And I also got one, Go Down Old Hannah, Texas Prison Camp song, a tribute to Perry and Bachman's campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, because it really is good. And Sit Down to Cry. This is a tribute to the Iowa Republican Caucus. All right. And I think I'm going to play this, the Iowa Republican Caucus one. Well, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know which one's better.
I like Weak Brain and Narrow Mind.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a very good.
It's a tribute to Rick Santorum. Let's play that. We've been down on Rick Santorum.
No, this is my. I put that in.
Oh, you put that down?
It's a tribute to Rick Santorum, yeah. Weak Brain and Narrow Mind. I just put that in, but the name of the song is Weak Brain and Narrow Mind.
Well, let's play that and we'll.
Okay. Oh, we can play some of that and see what you think. It's a really nice song, actually.
And at this particular time, I would like to present to you a very lovely man, a friend of mine, a worthy man, the one and only, Willie Dixon.
Old Hannah from a Texas prison camp.
Good.
the true old Texas Road Gang here.
Why don't you go down on don't you ride
Bound to Cry, original song.
Tribute to the Iowa Caucus.
By Tony Grimsley. You can get that on YouTube. I just thought it was good. You know. I hope you enjoyed my tribute to the Republicans out there in Iowa land and the insane caucus that we just saw. And with that, I'm going to go to some news. I wanted to read this health report. 125-year-old woman claimed that smoking pot every day was her secret to long life.
Maybe, huh?
Yeah, she passed away recently, but 125 years old.
God bless her.
Yeah, and she smoked it every day of her life.
I wonder what country she was from.
India. So we will talk about this in just 1 second here.
Hard to have any kind of life there at all.
This was posted on May 13th, 2011, by Vail Tudo Cafe in Informative Medical Marijuana. Causes of smoking, marijuana, effects of smoking, da 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 da. A 125-year-old woman, said to be one of the oldest women in India, died at her home in Orissa, her family said Sunday. Fula Nayak claimed that smoking cannabis every day was her secret to long life. Fula Nayak, a resident of Kanarpur village in the coastal district of Chandrapada, died of old age complications on Saturday. According to her 72-year-old grandson, Fula was 125, but per a photo ID card used by the government in 1995, she was 120. So she was actually maybe 135 or 140.
You don't know.
Because she had in 1995, she was 120. So that grand old woman lived in a small mud wall thatch house in Kanpur, about 25 kilometers from the district headquarters. And she is survived by two of her four daughters and around two dozen relatives. Her eldest daughter, Jenna, Jumuna, is 92 and lives in the same village. Her husband died at the age of 50. Fula was in the news when her grandson, Nayan Nayak, claimed last week that she could be the oldest woman living in the world. He had said that he would write to the Guinness Book of Authorities to record the claim. Fula was known for her love of smoking ganja and cigars and palm juice. She also loved steaming hot tea. She had never suffered any debilitating ailment throughout her life, except for her weak eyesight, and Fula maintained good health and used to walk without support at 135 years old. God bless her, and she smoked marijuana every day. That's my kind of girl. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that to you. And, interesting. There's another one that, there's a couple of really good things, but this one was interesting to me because this was a background check on CNN. This kind of tells you who the people are
behind
CNN and why they've been trying to blackball everything that new
Ron Paul,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, why they censor stuff that you wouldn't think.
This is from the Economic Policy Journal.
Right.
Since CNN broadcasts have seemed so intent on looking back decades into promo letters and newsletters put out by one of Ron Paul's organizations, when everyone admits Ron Paul did not write the letters, let's take a look at the background of some of those affiliated with CNN. It's an elitist as you can get, with strong ties to the CIA recruiting ground, Yale University. CNN is owned by Time Warner. CEO Jeffrey L. Wex is a director of the Council of Foreign Relations and also serves on the board of Yale University. Also affiliated with Yale and CNN are Anderson Cooper and David Gergen. Anderson Cooper spent time interning during his summer breaks in his sophomore and junior years at the CIA. Cooper is the son of Gloria Vanderbilt and the great-great-grandson of Cornelius Vanderbilt.
Great-great-great-grandson.
Three greats, plus a grandson. It was J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, and Vanderbilt who developed Jekyll Island, where the Wall Street elite developed the plan to launch the Federal Reserve. Cooper is also a member of the Manuscript Society, a.k.a. the Rexham Foundation. The Manuscript Society is a secret society at Yale University like Skull and Bones. The society holds an annual gathering in its tomb on Halloween. CNN senior political correspondent David Gurdjieff is also a member of the Manuscript Society and was a presidential advisor who served during the administrations of Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and Clinton. It is not clear when the Manuscript Society tapped blacks for membership, if ever. There are no publicly known black members of the society. As for the CNN reporter Gloria Borger, who badgered Ron Paul, I have already reported on her background. Well, it turns out hit job specialist Gloria Borger is married to Lance Morgan. Morgan is, according to the website of his employer, Powell Tate, chief communications strategist at Powell Tate in D.C. He specializes in developing and executing communication strategies for public policy debates, crisis communications, and media training. So who might be the clients of Powell Tate, where Borger's husband is chief communications strategist and crisis communications advisor? Just about every military-industrial complex that Ron Paul wants to shrink or shut down. According to the Powell Tate website, they provide strategic communications for, among others, the U.S. Army, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the U.S. Agency for International Development, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and I'm not joking, the National Pork Board. Bottom line, Gloria Borger's husband is as inside Washington, D.C. as you can get. CNN is just the type of organization you would expect to go after Ron Paul. They are at the very core of elitist, establishment, hypocritical Washington, D.C.
There you go. So that's what CNN is all about.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go back here a little ways and see what's going on.
Knocked out your site.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen. I was only supposed to knock out one. But things like that happen in cyberspace.
Yep.
So we're going to get another thing here. Hang on a second. I was very curious when I saw this article. If I can get it again. Oops, there's a delay in my computer system here.
How about this one? Terrified woman from another universe wakes up
here.
Yeah,
that was kind of bizarre. We can go to that in a minute. We got about 5 minutes, but there's something else I wanted to. U.S. to start trade wars with nations opposed to Monsanto GMO crops. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, the United States is threatening nations who oppose Monsanto's genetically modified crops with military-style trade wars, according to the information obtained and released by the organization WikiLeaks. Nations like France, which have moved to ban one of Monsanto's GM corn varieties, were requested to be penalized by the United States for opposing Monsanto and genetically modified foods. The information reveals just how deep Monsanto's roots have penetrated key positions within the United States government, with the cables reporting that many U.S. diplomats work directly for Monsanto. Oh, that makes you sick.
Well, the lobbyists for the FDA. The head of the FDA, and now the agricultural czar is the chief lobbyist for the FDA. Was the chief lobbyist for Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I mean, you can't get much deeper than that. And, the information reveals, WikiLeaks cable reveals that in late 2007, the United States ambassador to France and business partner George W. Bush, business partner to George W. Bush, Greg Stapleton, requested that the European Union, along with particular nations that did not support GMO crops, be penalized. Stapleton, who co-owned the Dallas-Fort Worth-based Texas Rangers baseball team with Bush in the 90s, stated, "Country Team Paris recommends that we calibrate a target retaliation list that causes campaign across the EU, since this is a collective responsibility. But that also focuses in part on the worst culprits. The list should be measured rather than vicious, and we must be substantiated over the long term, since we could not expect an early victory. Moving to retaliation will make clear that the current path has real cost to EU interest and could help strengthen European pro-biotech voices." But the key is, I mean, we're bullying these countries to accept our poisonous crops that we are eating. You know, it's
and dying and getting sick from.
Dying and government-approved crap. Okay, that's killing everybody in the United States. There's 400 times more cancer rates in this country than any other country in the world, and the other country knows it. All right, but and that's why they don't accept our foods. The ambassador plainly calls for target retaliation against nations who are against using Monsanto's genetically modified corn, admittedly linked to organ damage and environmental devastation. What do you think of that? Huh? Amazingly, this is not an isolated case. In similar newly released cables, the United States documents our diplomats are found to have pushed GMO crops as a strategic government and commercial imperative. Furthermore, the U.S. specifically targeted advisors to the Pope due to the fact that many Catholic bishops and figureheads have openly denounced GMO crops. In fact, the Vatican has openly declared Monsanto GMO crops as a new form of slavery.
Well, good for them.
A Martino deputy told
us recently that the Cardinal...
had cooperated with Embassy Vatican on high biotech over the past 2 years, in part to compensate for his vocal disapproval of the Iraq War and its aftermath, to keep relations with the USG, or the United States government, smooth. According to our source, Martino no longer feels the need to take this approach, says the cable. Perhaps the most shocking piece of information exposed by the cables is the fact that these U.S. diplomats are actually working directly for biotech corporations like Monsanto. The cable also highlights the relationship between the U.S. and Spain in their conquest to persuade other nations to allow for the expansion of GMO crops. Not only did the Spanish government secretly correspond with the U.S. government on the subject, but the U.S. government actually knew beforehand how Spain would vote before the Spanish Biotech Commission reported their decision regarding GMO crops. Response to recent urgent requests by Spain as Rural Affairs Minister, State Secretary Joseph Fexu and Monsanto.
We're at the end of our show anyway.
Yeah. So, sorry about that. We just lost our stream.
Yeah.
But anyway, just know that, you know, all is not nice with Monsanto and the U.S. government.
No, and it's infiltrated high places in the government.
Oh, absolutely.
And it makes it really tough to do anything.
And you know what?
But
before I go tonight, I think I'm going to play this. You don't have to, but I think you might want to listen to it. This is a report by Finkelstein.
Yeah, but that's kind of long.
I think I have a
call to make.
You have a call to make? Well, you can make it in a little while. There's no urgency with that call. I can tell you that right now. I'm calling you to say good night.
No.
Sure. Without it.
I don't say anything too long.
Well, anyway, I was going to play it, but Lila sees an emergency happening there, and I don't think there is. But we will go ahead. I really wish I could play the Finkelstein thing, because he's calling Gaza a genocide. But anyway,
play tomorrow.
No, that's a different night. All right, well, whatever. We will end the show on protest, and I hope that hopefully that you enjoyed it. Join me tomorrow night as we enter the fourth dimension.